This is a story, an actual historical story. It's not a parable, but it's a story that took place about 2,000 years ago, in which Jesus had this large following of 5,000. John says it's 5,000, but when you read this account in Matthew, it's 5,000 besides the women and children. So we had a number of probably 8,000 people, all of which had followed Jesus up into this mountain and to listen to his teaching. But over the period of time they were there, they were growing hungry. There were in some cases whole families. There were perhaps little children. We know there was one lad, but perhaps there were children all through this great congregation, and they were hungry. And I know from listening to my grandbabies, when they get hungry, they cry. It's the only way they can let you know. And so it was obvious that something would have to be done. And Jesus tested Philip. He said, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And Philip said, if we had 200 penny worth of bread, which is the amount of a laborer for 200 days of labor, it was more than a half a year's work. If we had that much, it wouldn't be sufficient that everyone could just take a little bit. It would not be sufficient. Jesus says, set the men down, and then he worked this mighty miracle that we'll talk about in just one moment. But I want to draw your attention to the fact that when Jesus, first of all, Jesus already knew what he would do. And in your situation, Jesus already knows what he's going to do. Nevertheless, he asked Philip. He said, how are we going to take care of these crowds? And I love Philip's answer, because his answer is 200 penny worth is not enough. He just restated the problem. He had no illumination of the answer whatsoever, and that's kind of where men generally are. We just don't have the answers that we need many times. And finally, I believe it was Andrew, he said, well, there's a lad here that has 5 barley loaves and 2 little fish. But what are they among so many? Have you noticed that everything in your world is more expensive? Have you noticed that gas has gone up over the last 2 or 3 years? Your grocery bill is almost doubled. Just forget about buying a house. They're just too expensive. Have you noticed? And sometimes we as Christians, as God's people, we can look at our little resources. We look at our little paycheck. We look at our little lame savings account, and we can say the same thing in frustration. What are these resources amongst so many bills? What are they amongst so many? Let me say this, and please understand it in the right way. God doesn't care about your income or your bills. Neither one of them are a problem to him. He can bless you without either one of them. But we as God's people have to get comfortable to walking in faith, trusting God with all of our hearts, leaning not to our own understanding, so that we're comfortable moving through those times when things begin to get tight and when we need God to be dependent upon God to get the things that we require for life. The question was, what are these among so many? God has promised to take care of you according to his own riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He don't need your little job. Thank God for the job. There's nothing wrong. We got to work, right? That's a good thing. But as our society, as our economy continues to collapse upon itself, don't look to the White House. Look to heaven. Don't look to the politicians. Don't worry about the politicians. They've never gotten it right. Look to God, who has always gotten it right. And so once the question was rendered, what are these among so many? You'll notice that Jesus doesn't give an answer at all. The little lad had 5 barley loaves. And it's funny how the Holy Spirit gives the adjectives. They weren't wheat loaves. Wheat loaves have greater nutritional value. Barley was poor man's food. barley loaves, they had lower nutritional value. And he didn't say he had two fish. They were little bitty. They're like sardines. And what this boy had, it was his lunch. It was the food that no doubt his mother packed for him. This was his sack lunch. And when you look at the little boy's sack lunch and you look at 8,000 people, yeah, it's a reasonable question, isn't it? What is this? What kind of joke is this amongst such a great need? Well, put yourself in that position and look at your paycheck and look at your savings if you have one. And then look at all the bills and everything going sky high, sky high. It's a very reasonable question to ask. But here's what I want to draw your attention to. That little boy was willing to give up his sack lunch. And he put it in Jesus's hand because the scripture says Jesus took it and he blessed it. Our problem is we are afraid to put anything in God's hands. Our problem is that we just simply don't trust him enough to put something substantial in his hand, saying, God, I'm trusting you to stretch it as you bless the loaves and the fish. Bless this and meet my need and meet the need of others as well. I never will forget Lauren Larson told me a story about Brother Swaggart one time. It's been many years ago. Without a penny, just barely paying the bills of the ministry, which is substantial, he would, without a penny, sign a $1 million contract and later on ask the people for the money. Brother, that's faith. We have to learn how to operate in faith. Y'all are dry this morning. See, we say we trust him with our eternal soul, but we don't trust him with the money in our pocket. And I wonder, are we really trusting him at all? But we're getting ready to find out because the economy is not going to get better. No. It's not going to get better. The job market is not going to get better. And we have got to come to a place that we operate by faith, that we're comfortable moving with God by faith. What are these amongst so many? He took the meager little poor boy's lunch. He blessed it. He handed it to the disciples. And the disciples fed all 8,000 people. And the scripture says that they ate as much as they would. Let's go back to verse 10. I've missed something here. Jesus said, verse 10, make the men to sit down. Okay? So before Jesus did anything, first he needs to test everybody's obedience. Make them all sit down. And you might ask, well, how does sitting down make me less hungry? It doesn't. It's a show of your obedience to do what the master has told you to do. He said, make the men sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down. They obediently did what Jesus asked them to do. In number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to his disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. Did you catch that? They only gave it to those who were set down. If someone was saying, well, I'm not going to sit down, I'll get grass stains on my new fresh sports suit. I'm not sitting down. They got nothing. He gave it to those who obediently did what he said. Can anybody hear me this morning? And likewise of the fishes, get this, as much as they would. Now, man's solution, Andrew said, that if we had 200 penny worth of bread, it wouldn't even be enough for everybody to get a little bitty nibble. But when you take your nothing and you put it into the master's hands, he's able to meet your need, that you have all that you need and more. Get that, all that you need and more. When they got done, everybody ate as much as they wanted to eat. And when they got done, he said, go get the fragments. We don't want to waste anything. And there was 12 baskets of fragments left from the 5 barley loaves and the 2 little fish. Somebody says, I don't believe it. You will never eat of it either. This is a life of faith. This is a life where you believe God. We believe what he says and we're obedient to what he tells us. That's what this life is. If you have a different mind than that, you can't eat from this. Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe. It's not optional. And all of us, when you're born again, you start with just the seed of faith. But over time, as you live for God, you should grow in experiential knowledge. I tried this, and it worked. I'm going to try it again. I've shared this any number of times. We were in the storefront when we first started this church many years ago. And we had a missionary come and he spent a few days, but he came to our service, and I was aware that he was coming, and I met him, and he was a blessing. And we were, at that time, we were saving money. I mean, pennies. We had a jar at the door. Please give us whatever change you have when you come. We're putting money together to build that first building over there. And so the missionary came, and I heard God when he said it. We had $2,500. That building cost right at $250,000, the first part. We had $2,500. And God said, give $2,500 to this missionary. And I'm asking you guys, give me your pennies. And God's saying, give it all to him. We got the money out of the bank. And before he left, he was in prayer. He was on his knees with his hands up. And I put that money into his hand while it was up, praising God. And I had to explain to the people, this is what God said. Right now in South America, that man has enough real estate is over $1 million of real estate his church has spread. We put a seed in his hand, and it birthed a whole ministry in, I think it was in Brazil. But not only that, we got the money and we built the building, but we didn't have enough money for the chairs. And out of nowhere, a preacher I didn't even know from North Dallas, he calls me up and he says, preacher, I heard that you just built a church and you have no pews. I said, you heard right, brother. He said, well, we got a bunch that you can have. Just come and get them. And they were nice. They were like brand new pews. But get this now, when we had them cut, you had to have a company come out and cut them to fit into the building, to fit into the room, so that we had the right number of aisles and everything. And when they cut them, those pews that he gave us fit exactly into that room. I mean, exactly. There were 2 pews that were too short. Well, I think the side pews were maybe like 10 feet. There was a couple of them that were like 8. Which allowed for 2 government-mandated handicap slots on the front row, and they fit perfect. Hallelujah. What are these amongst so many? When you learn how to just trust God. And I didn't know it wasn't easy. It wasn't simple. We hear these acts of faith, and we think that, oh, they just blew through it. I was sweating beads of sweat. It was a scary proposition. Brother Jordan, you was there. It was a scary proposition. But Sister Board, you was there. But when you're committed that I want to do what God wants me to do, that's what makes him want to move for you. When you just say, I don't know. First of all, $2,500, that wasn't going to help us one way or the other. If you walk into the bank and say, I got $2,500, I want a $250,000 building, they'll laugh you right out of the place. They'll call security on you. But God is able, with his resources, to move you beyond where you could ever be. Saints, there is no way I could have ever put this together. I'm just not that smart. I just don't know enough stuff. But God just does it because we walk in obedience to him. That's all he's looking for. And this little boy with his five barley loaves and his two little fish, he could have said, whoa, 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 Andrew. Whoa, bro. This is my sack lunch, man. Everybody out here hungry. I'm the only one who got some food. This is just enough food for me to begin to walk back home. I have a good meal between here and home. I'm set. Come on, somebody. The little boy could have said, I'm not giving anybody anything. I need this for me. But I wonder how many baskets of the fragments Jesus gave him. See, we live in fear. As Christians, many times we live in fear. Now, I'm not telling you go do something crazy. I'm saying to stretch out on your faith. I'm saying to move forward in your faith because this is how God works. Faith is going to cost you something. It's not just an empty profession. It's not just you say it and that's faith. As our Bible class on James is teaching right now, faith without works is dead. Faith is always going to have it's always going to communicate itself. And we as God's people have to learn how in trying times to look to God and not to look to man, because man has no answers. No answers whatsoever. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the five barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. This is how God operates. Again and again, this is how he operates. When we built this church, we were gathering. Once again, you can't build without taking a capital campaign. We were gathering money. And it was a big project, the biggest I've ever done. And I was watching every penny to make sure everything was right. And we got, the building is partially built. Everything is almost ready to start putting in the interior. And I realized that one of the documents that I was using, I was reading it wrong. Our electronics, audio, video, and lighting, they're roughly about $200,000. I thought it was in the budget from the bank loan. It wasn't. And I think some of you may remember, I came to you. I was in tears. I mean, I actually cried about this. And me and my wife said, well, what are we going to do? The bank won't give us any more money. They just barely gave us enough to build a building. And I remember we sat down in our living room. And at that time, we still had a mortgage on our house. And we said, how much do we have in savings? It wasn't $200,000, I can guarantee you that. Said, let's rake that together, and we'll get a second mortgage on the house. And we should be able to put enough to just squeeze everything together. And we were ready to do it. And then the storm just calmed, and everything worked out without us even having to put an extra penny in. But we were willing. We had the conversation before God that, we're going to have to sell what we got. We're going to have to collapse everything that we got going on. The church has got to go on. And God sees our faith. And I don't want to build up myself as though I've done some great things. I had a lot of flunked classes as well. But the point I wish to make is that operating in faith is going to be uncomfortable. At times it's going to be uncomfortable. When we first put this church together, back then when we was in the storefront, if nobody gave a penny, Sister Lincoln and I, we were both working full-time jobs, we could just pay it ourselves. I think it was only maybe $800. We would just pay it ourselves, and sometimes we did. But when we moved into this building, we looked at each other and said, hey, we can't. This note is $12,000, almost $13,000. We can't pay this ourselves. And it was a little bit scary at first. But over time, experiential knowledge, I don't even think about it anymore. It doesn't bother me at all as we just keep moving forward because we've learned that God is able to sustain. He is able to hold up what he needs to hold up. If you are a Christian, you're in a Christian household, you are trusting God, he is well able to maintain you. He took Israel out of Egypt, took them out to a howling wilderness where they didn't work a job at all. They just got up and fellowshipped all day. And God went to such an extent to sustain them, he caused manna to fall from heaven for 40 years. He caused water to pour, rivers of water to pour out of a rock. And get this, that rock followed them 40 years through the wilderness, giving them water. Don't tell me God can't. But now, somebody says, do you really believe that? Well, yeah. It's in the book. If it wasn't true, it wouldn't be in here. Say, but you've never seen anything like that happen. Not yet. But I'm moving towards it. Little by little, I'm learning to trust God more and more and more. More and more. And I look at it now. I haven't worked a corporate job in almost 30 years. No, not that long. Maybe about 20 years, something like that. God told me 20 years ago, he said, well, you'll never work for man again, only work for me. Saints, that wasn't comfortable. Again, I cried. That was not comfortable at all. It's scary. I've worked all my life. I had a good trade, a computer programmer, a hard skill. And God is saying, just trust me. You'll never have, you're not working no more. Just trust me and work for me. Well, yeah, that sounds like it's what you want to hear until you hear it. And then all of a sudden the reality comes in. Oh, you mean I'm going to be totally dependent on you, right? And it's a little bit scary. But over 20 years, not one bill has ever been late. Not in my household and not in the church. God takes care of everything. So what am I preaching this morning? There are uncomfortable moments that we have to move through in order to walk at the level of faith that we need to. I'm running out of time, but I'm going to just share this with you very, very quickly. In the book of 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning with verse 8, I'll just be very quick with this. The word of the Lord came unto Elijah, saying, arise and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So Elijah arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. And he called of her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called unto her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. So he's asking for something to eat and something to drink. And she said, as the Lord liveth, I have not a cake. All I have is a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. Get her position? Her position was, I don't have anything. I got one meal left. And when me and my baby eat this, we're going to die. There's nothing left. Isn't it amazing that God would send Elijah to that woman's house? He could have sent her to anybody in Zarephath, but he sent her to that person. How many can identify with that lady? Things can get tight sometimes. You wonder, man, what in the world? Well, look to God. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, fear not. The first thing you have to remember, don't get afraid. Be not afraid, little flock. Fear not, and go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first. And here's where the rubber meets the road. Can you put God first or not? Everything I've talked about here today, can you put God first or not? Not in word, but in deed. Can you make him the primary? Can you give him a position of more importance than yourself? He's told her, I heard everything you said. You got one biscuit, you got one meal that you can make, and then you're going to die. And I'm asking you, in light of that, make me something first. Give that biscuit to me. Give that meal to me. and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son. Now she said, she already told him, I don't have nothing else. There's no after. For thus saith the Lord of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. This is how God moves. It's very easy for us to run around faith, 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 faith. But when the walls begin to come in, I'm sure everybody was shouting how much faith they had when Moses led them out of Egypt. But when they stood at the Red Sea and the armies of Pharaoh's pressing down on them, nobody broke out the tambourines. They waited until God fixed it all up and drowned the armies of Pharaoh. And on the other side, they broke out the tambourines and sang the song of Moses. But with faith, you could have sang that song on that side. Hallelujah. Saints, times are becoming difficult. It's not going to change. It's going to get worse. And it needs to get worse. Because if it doesn't get worse, we're going to keep right on our same evil path that we've been on. But we as the people of God, God has not appointed us to judgment. He's not appointed us to wrath. And so we have to learn how to put our trust in him. And Lord, whatever comes, now it may change, things may change in your life. But God has promised to meet all of your need, not wants, need, in accordance to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How many want to just trust God? It's a growth, and I'm telling you, saints, it's not always comfortable. There are times you're going to wrestle with yourself, and you're going to wrestle with God, trying to wrap your mind around, how, Lord, how? Have you ever noticed God don't tell you? He don't tell you up front anything. He just says, trust me. And we're trying to wrap our heads around why, and we come up with 200 penny worth is not sufficient. And if you had to ask Andrew and Philip and all of the disciples, if you had to ask all of them, none of them would have came up with this solution. How about if you just expand these loaves and fish and make enough food for everybody? And Lord, while you're at it, why don't you make an extra 12 baskets full of fragments? Nobody would have asked that. God is able to solve your issues in a way that's beyond what you can understand. Praise the Lord. Would you bow your heads, please, all over the room? Father, we just love you today. And Lord, we are learning to trust you. Lord, over and above our own understanding, over and above and beyond our own logic and our own considerations, we're learning to put ourselves in your hands because we've always been in your hands. Now, Father, we come to you today and we'd ask you that you'd help us in those uncomfortable moments. When life begins to squeeze in on us, Lord, and we become uncomfortable, that we not shrink back from evidencing faith in the promises of God, that we press boldly in. Come on, all over the room. If you're able this morning, why don't you stand to your feet and reach out to the Lord. Reach out to the Lord for your own self and for your own house. God, I thank you for where you brought me to, but I don't have the strong faith that I need to have, Lord, to go through the times ahead. And so I ask you that you deal with me. Deal with me in my finances. Deal with me in my decision making. Deal with me, God, in my whole thought life concerning you, that I move through the discomfort and put myself in a place of dependence upon you. Come on, just reach out to the Lord this morning. Just reach out.
Lord, we need you this morning. We need you, Lord God, to help us to learn how to put our total and complete trust in you and only you. It's so easy for us, Lord, to lean on our own understanding, God, but help us, Father, through and by the power of the Holy Spirit, give us the strength that we need to rely on an all-knowing, all-seeing, all-powerful God. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful this morning that we have a God that we can depend on in those impossible times. In those times when man can't help us, even when we can't help ourselves, God is there. And I'm thankful for that this morning. Amen. If you haven't had an opportunity to give, we ask that you do so. And just a couple of announcements, or one specifically, we are still planning to do the church barbecue on Saturday, May 18th, and we hope to see you there. It starts at noon and ends at 2, so hopefully you'll be able to make it. We thank you all for coming today. We pray that you are blessed, not just today, but the rest of this week. We hope to see you back if you're able to make it at our 11 a.m. Thank you so much. You are dismissed.